today on Real Radio.
Dear friend, have you been wayward as a believer and the enemy has beat the tar out of you? The world has drug you through its streets and you've been left naked, bruised, beaten, and broke and broken. And Jesus now says to you this morning, all right, now stand up. Now I can use you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Where Is Your Faith? Part 1, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Now, Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. In 1 Peter, we saw how Peter's approach was patient and loving, but here in the book of 2 Peter, Peter really knew that his time was limited and much was at stake. Now, for this reason, his words are urgent and his message is straightforward to combat the false doctrines and teachers of his day. You know, one way to tell if a ministry teaches sound biblical doctrine is how much focus they put on feelings and experiences. Now, God's Word is not based on emotions. Churches filled with growing Christians who are vibrant in their faith are not likely to fall for counterfeit Christianity. They know that feelings come and go, but God's Word always stays the same. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Peter had become the pastor and teacher that Jesus called him to be. Peter is older and wiser and knows the church will carry on by the power of the Holy Spirit and through encouragement in times of difficulty. And now in his message called Where Is Your Faith? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He's not young, impetuous Peter anymore. He's not Peter walking on the water. He's not Peter walking with Jesus. Those decades are gone. He's aged. He's wrinkled. And he's feeling the years. And he has a great sense of urgency. I got to communicate something to you guys before I'm out of here. And I'm not going to be negligent on this very thing. The word negligent here means I'm not going to be careless with what I'm about to say. I'm not going to be unattentive. The word means I am not going to be casual with this issue. There's a great sense of urgency in Peter's preaching and teaching. I love this because he's proven himself to be exactly the pastor that Jesus had commissioned him to be. Church, do you remember in your Bibles when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you remember that? The disciples were all there and they had the great catch of fish and everybody's having a great time. And then Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, you know I love you. And 3 times this dialogue goes on back and forth. And in each instant, Jesus says to Peter, tend and feed my sheep. Now that had to be amazing for a fisherman. He had no sheep. Your life is going to be transformed, Peter. I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're going to go out with the gospel truth. You're going to preach it and teach it. And you're going to scoop up in a net for me the souls of men. Mr. and Mrs. Mankind. And I want you to feed them. And I want you to make sure that all the bugs tend. You know, tend. I'm got to tell you straight up. Tend. To tend the sheep, take the bugs out of their wool, get the thorns out, remove stuff, get the goop out of their eyes, make sure that they're cleaned up. Feeding the sheep is not a problem. I used to work 13 years I worked in a medical research lab and we used sheep. And they were the most beautiful sheep you've ever seen. Why? Because we had a staff that maintained those sheep. All they did was watch those sheep. Those sheep glowed in the dark. They were so pretty. They were well taken care of. They had to be for what was to befall them. Anyway, tended and fed and taken care of. And Peter's doing this. And he's being very, very careful. The Bible tells us in Luke 22:32, but I have prayed for you, Jesus says to Peter. that your faith, notice your faith, should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. That's exactly what Peter is doing. In that great prophecy of Jesus, he tells Peter, Satan's been asking for you by name. Can you, I mean, I've told you guys this before, you know it well. Satan comes to Jesus and says, can I have Peter? Can you imagine? Satan says to Jesus, can I have Peter? I'd like to shred him in pieces. So Jesus tells Peter, Satan's asked for you. And as I've told you before, and I could just see this happening. I don't think Peter was rattled by that one moment, because he knew he assumed the answer. Hey Peter, by the way, I just want to let you know, Satan's been coming to me every night asking if he could dig his claws into you and tear you apart. And you could just see Peter, wow, really? That's heavy. Anyway, what's for lunch? And Jesus looks at Peter. And Peter says, you told him no, right? And Jesus says, when you've returned from getting the snot knocked out of you, use that experience to strengthen your brothers. Wow. What was going on here? Jesus is preparing Peter to be the consummate pastor, teacher, and lover of the flock. Peter, you're going to see my power deliver you from the grip of Satan himself. Satan will wind up losing the battle. Not only that, he's going to wind up losing souls, because you will learn from the school of ministry that I'm allowing you to enter into, something you could never get by getting a degree. You are going to be hit by Satan himself, and you're going to make it. Notice he says that. When you've returned, strengthen your brethren. Dear friend, have you been wayward as a believer and the enemy has beat the tar out of you? The world has drug you through its streets and you've been left naked, bruised, beaten, and broke. And broken. And Jesus now says to you this morning, all right, now stand up, because I'm going to use you. I like to think of it this way. All right, stand up. Now I can use you. There is a work that God does in our lives that cannot be done any other way but through difficulty. I don't understand it. I just know it's true. Why can't he do it some other way? And what would that way be? The way that we would pick? It would be painless. Thus, it would have no effect. But cheer up. How is it that in this life, for the life of the Christian, that the most grotesque, painful, impossible situations wind up in time doing a work in your life that could not be done any other way, to your own safety and to the glory of Jesus Christ, and for that, forever? I don't know, but he does it. Are you in the thick of it? Don't give up. Don't quit. When you return, when you are able to worship again, when you are able to stand and say, God, thank you for allowing me to go through it, then strengthen your brethren when that time comes. But Peter is learning a tremendous lesson, and he's, thank God, decades later now passing it on to us here in the scripture. And then it says there in verse 12 that he's going to remind them. He says, I'm not going to be negligent to remind you always. The word remind here means to bring up. This is so good. You know, young people remember everything except to take the trash out and to mow the lawn. They somehow forget that part. But, you know, when you're young, your brain is elastic and it works and it's wonderful and all that. As you get older, memory gets challenged. But what's very interesting about this, it kind of fits, you know, by way of analogy. Peter is saying, it is very important, because the word means, I need to call up, listen, from within you, I need to call it up. I need to bring it back up. I need to cause the truth that is in you, that you've always known about as a believer, to be brought to the front of your mind. This is good for all of us. Because you may be a young believer today, or you may be a long-time believer, maybe as a child, but you're young. You may be, I don't know, 19, 20, 25, 30 years of age, you're young, but there's so many awesome things that you've learned as a child that you have forgotten now in your adulthood. You've just let them slip. You didn't mean to, but you know what? I got to tell you, you guys know this. If you have little kids involved in this children's ministry, your little kids are walking around 7 days a week singing songs about Jesus, singing Bible verses, and they're just going on and on and on. I know because my grandkids, my granddaughter just doing it yesterday. It's just coming out of them. And listen, we're supposed to be like that all the time. And there's, listen, for all of us, and let me put it to you like this way. I'll exaggerate it. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. When did you learn that? Some of you are like going like right now. That's a song that children learn in Sunday school. And yet, when a kid reaches 16, 17 years of age, they somehow forget that. And you needed to go back to that. You need to get reminded of that. Isn't it so true for all of us that we need to go back and revisit? I love this about the Bible. You go back and revisit the Bible. I had a young man tell me this last Wednesday. It was very sweet. He was visiting from out of state and said, Pastor, I get so overwhelmed about where to start reading in the Bible. I don't know where to begin, and I wind up never getting started. I said, listen, I understand that. This is a huge book, and it's daunting if you approach it like that. But you read the Bible like you eat an elephant, if you're going to eat an elephant. You know the proverbial saying, it's one bite at a time. And I just simply told him, and this is so sweet. Listen to me, everybody. I said to him, I am right now, I told him, I think his name was Edward. I said, Edward, stand there, listen to me. I am commanding you. I don't usually talk like that to somebody. But I thought I would put it this way. I'm commanding you to start in John's Gospel, chapter 1. And when you're done with John, go to Acts and keep reading your Bible all the way through to the end. And you should have seen him. He went like this. I can do that. All he needed was direction. To be pointed. And Peter is pointing to us by the word remembering. I'm asking you to go back to what you fundamentally believed regarding the word of God and Christ and heaven and hell. Go back to the original place where you started. Isn't that what Jesus said in the book of Revelation to the church at Ephesus? Go back to your first love. Beware of people who try to make the Bible reading and Bible study a big, complicated deal. Watch out for them. I'm dead serious. Be very careful. Mark my words. They'll tell you, oh, you know, many things are hard to understand. In fact, why don't you join our little group and we'll show you how to study the word a certain way. You'll really get the most out of it. Listen, number one, there's a reason why it's a small little group. Number two, anytime somebody takes the place of the Holy Spirit, Peter would say to you today, get out of there. We'll tell you what the real deep things of God mean. How about letting the Holy Spirit through the Bible tell you what the deep words of God mean? Why not listen to this? Why not do what we have lost the ability to do? Sit down with the Bible and wait upon the word of God until it actually hurts. Have you ever waited? It's painful. This is my calling. It's not easy. You say, what do? You sit in a chair all day and read the Bible? If I sat in a chair all day and read the Bible and that's all I did, then my job would be easy. But to sit down and to open up the Bible and to ask this question, Lord, you said it to that flock 2,000 years ago. Your Holy Spirit is alive and well today. Your word's eternal. The flock at first service, you know every one of their issues. You know every one of their situations. It's impossible for you to know. God, you give me from your foundational truth that never changes, the exact thing that you once said to the flock at first service, because only you know them. You died for them. You love them. You're preparing them for heaven. So God, speak. That's why, my dear friend, even in your own private study, you can read the Bible, you can read the book of Genesis 10 times, and 10 times it will speak fresh meat to you. How is it? How is it that you could give all the pastors on staff here the exact same verse to teach on for 2 months? Exact same verse. And you would hear, what, 8 weeks of different sermons and applications from the exact same verse. Have you noticed that? Why? Because God's word is that manna for today. It never changes in its truth, but it's always applicable to what you need to experience in life. Truth drives the experience. Never let experience drive your truth. I know I'm yelling at all you guys. It's because I love this. I love this because if we don't have a biblical foundation, if God's word's not true, we ain't got nothing. But hallelujah, it is my firm foundation, the word of God. Remind, remember, Ephesians 2, 19 says, now therefore, Paul says to the church in Turkey, in Ephesus, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. What a beautiful statement that is. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's fantastic. Bible. Is your faith built upon Bible? Do you know that the Bible cannot lie, cannot change, is eternal? Did you know that the Bible, and you go, Bible. Love it. And then look at the word know. He uses this word know. I want to remind you always of these things, though you know and establish in the present truth. It means this. It means that you have the knowing of it. You already know these things. And so I want to be faithful to bring it up to you. I want to just methodically pass through here so you can just mark these things down. He uses the word established. This word established means I want you to have a resolute strength. It means you have a firm anchoring. It's the word that you would tie a ship up to the dock on. This great seagoing ship is now fastened to the dock. It's not going anywhere. I love the strength and the stability this tells us about. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, regarding our foundation. And I want to ask you, as I give you this verse, is your truth God's truth, or is your truth made up along the way? Jesus' truth never changes. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation can anyone lay or set than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So watch this. If you were studying this, 1 Corinthians 3:11, you would say, what's the object, or who is the object of my faith? You already know the answer to this. The object of my faith is Jesus. That's the object. My faith is something that is built upon every day more and more God's truth. So contrary to what the world says about your faith, oh, are you one of those Christians? Ooh, look at you. You made your blind leap of faith, huh? Into the believing of God? No. Oh, you people of faith, you bunch of knuckle-dragging Neanderthals. The world cannot understand our faith. Well, they could if they wanted to. Our faith is founded upon, as we'll see more and more in the weeks ahead, our faith, we've been invited to trust what God has done and said, and he has proven what he has done and said in the Word of God, the Bible. And God says, put your faith in what I have done. Put your faith in me. And the question then comes, can you do that? Will you do that? Have you done that? You say, Jack, it seems so simple. It's very simple. Peter goes so far to say that you are established, you're strengthened in this present truth. The word present truth means this is what governs your life. I don't know how far we'll get after just saying this next statement, because this is where it all matters. Does this truth govern your present day life? Oh my goodness. I'm serious about this. What are you going to wear? Does this present day truth govern your life on that? So what do you mean? Well, listen, I'll make it even, okay? You guys are sure quiet this morning. Y'all okay? Still trying to get over the announcements, are you? I understand that. Let's say you work out, sir, young man, and you're all built and you're all ripped and cut up. Hey, good for you. That's awesome. That's great. No, I'm super. But you have to paint on your t-shirts. I mean, really? I mean, you have to wear a shirt that tight? You say, well, you know, I'm pretty proud of all this this muscle matter. Look, okay, I get that, but what are you doing? Because that might bother some girl. I mean, bother like, wow. Think about it. Now, I was told by somebody said, women don't look at men that way. Well, whatever, I don't know that because I've never been one, don't plan on being one. but I don't know. Well, what if it's the way a man speaks? If you know that you are going to say something in such a way that could put a thought in this woman's mind, does this book govern the way you conduct yourself? You ought to hold that word back, or that sentence, or that mood back. Roll it back. Or listen, what if, young lady, you're wearing something and it's like, well, okay, that's a little too much cleavage, maybe just half that much. And then you come to church, and some poor guy has been battling, and then he happens to see you or sit down next to you. You say, well, how was I supposed to know? You don't know, but you know someone who does. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, at some point, I understand, we live in a world that is such that at some point, if that guy is speaking a certain way, young lady, just get away. And if she is wearing something like that and you ought not to look, turn around and go the other way. There's a warfare to be had on both sides. Are you with me? Don't do this thing that you have questions about. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. And you hear the Spirit of God say, don't do it. Then obey him. And it doesn't have to be that. It could be anything else. Let God speak to you. But how to conduct ourselves in this present time and in this present moment, in this present truth, God will be speaking to us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called, Where is Your Faith? Part 1. So glad you joined us today. You know, Peter's letters are such a comfort, aren't they? Just the fact that God cares about our spiritual lives is truly a blessing. Where's Your Faith? Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ in a very powerful way, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, sound spiritual doctrine is hard to find these days. So much material is available to us through the internet that we've really got to be careful what we take in. But unlike Peter and the Christians of his day, we have the New Testament, along with immediate access to biblical teachings through today's technology. And this includes Pastor Jack's website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, and once you're there, you'll find unique resources like updates on current events and all that Pastor Jack has to offer to optimize your faith and relationship with the Lord. Bible studies, sermons, along with access to Pastor Jack's social media, they're all right there when you go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. here on Real Radio.